The topic of my lesson is the godly woman in her prime. Yesterday, Corey spoke to us so soundly about the young woman. Tomorrow, Luann will talk to us about women in her later years. Today, I've got those in-between years, but we struggled. What do we call these middle years? Initially, it was, well, it's middle age. Well, so many of us balked and said, what? You can't call us middle-aged women. And so they came up with the prime years, and I thought, well, is prime really much better? And so to begin, I thought, well, here's women in middle ages. Let's look at prime and see if that's any better. I said, I know Amazon Prime. They provide excellent service and free shipping. I've heard of prime rib. It's supposed to be top-notch and tender and a cut above. On my floor, I've picked up an Optimus Prime. He's more than meets the eye. As a teacher, I've taught about prime numbers and even the prime meridian. And for some of you Star Trek fans, there's even the prime directive. Maybe I can relate to this word after all. So we'll leave it at that. The woman in her prime. Proverbs 31:10 says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Becoming a godly woman does not happen by chance. It's developed intentionally through training and growth. You have to decide that you want to be godly. And you have to decide with each day and with each choice how you're going to grow. So if you want to grow, you have to plan for it. As middle-aged women, we want to build upon the foundations of our youth. And so we think of it as that home building, as their foundation. Did you get off to a shaky start? Well, you're not bound by that forever. If your home life was rough, you can get past it. You can grow. If you made mistakes in your youth, it doesn't have to have consequences forever and ever. Learn forgiveness and move, grow. Make the choices now that help you to grow and help you to be stronger. Let's open our Bibles to Mark chapter 12 and verse 30, and we'll begin there with what does it mean to be godly? In Mark 12, verse 30, Jesus is asked about the greatest commandment, and he answers, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. With every fiber of my being, I should be striving to love God. Now, what is love? Is love just an emotion? No. We know that it's not. John 14:15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. There's actions to follow if you say that you love God. We also know that good works without love, without the feeling, are meaningless. 1 Corinthians 13:3 says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but I have not love, it profits me nothing. So a godly woman feels a love for God, but then behaves out of that desire in every aspect of her life. So I want to look a few minutes at these aspects of our being that Jesus put forth in Mark 12, 30. I know that our stage of life is going to be different from person to person, but I want to generalize just a little bit so that we know what we're talking about that affects women in these ages. So first we want to talk about strength from Mark 12. Love the Lord with all of your strength. That's your physical body. Ooh, what's happening to my strength in these years? What's affecting me? I'm beginning to age. I'm not as youthful as I once was. I'm a mother. You might be a grandmother. I'm not there yet. I'm a wife. My life begins to transition, or your life begins to transition from one of the youthful childbearing mother to I'm done with that part of life, the non-childbearing years. Oh, the hormonal changes that occur. That's going to happen in every stage, but yes, definitely in these middle years as well. And the physical changes that occur do these affect my feelings and my actions and how much energy I put forth into being godly? Absolutely. No doubt. Love the Lord your God with all of your soul. That's your spiritual man. What affects my middle-aged soul? Well, my faith should be maturing. I should be continuing to grow. I should be a Bible class teacher by now. I can be an example to younger women. It's odd still for me to think that there are women that are younger than I am that are mothers and wives, but it's true. And so that training begins now, already. I can be that example. We begin to become more aware of our mortality. As much as I hate it, it hurts my heart. The more people we begin to lose as we enter this stage of life and go through this stage of life, it reminds me that I'm not going to be here forever. And it brings to mind eternity and how much sweeter eternity is going to be. And I long to be in the presence of my Lord. And I long to be reunited with those Christians that have gone on before. It affects my soul. It affects how I love the Lord with all of my soul. Also, the reality of our children's independent relationship with God. No longer do I get to keep my babies just safe and they get to be under my rule. I have to transition them into their own relationship with God and leave it up to them to have a sturdy enough foundation to have their own relationship. Love the Lord with all your heart. That's your emotional side. What weighs on my heart? So many emotional changes, always. On one hand, I'm sad that the childbearing years have ended. But at the same time, boy, for us, they were such a struggle. So much of my youth was consumed with when, Lord, when, please. And now it's thank you, Lord. Oh, those emotions. We're busy. We're raising children to adulthood. We're enjoying our friendships of old. My heart was happy yesterday when Michael Light was walking out and I was walking in and he said, wow, you don't get any older and I just become an old man. And then he turned to Faith and he said, our kids are almost grown, Jennifer. What in the world? Mike and I met at about age 19 at McCarty Student Center. It's nice to have those friendships that have lasted so very long. It's precious in our church that the Lord created our family to include so many that are really not blood related, except through the blood of Christ. I hold those friendships precious. I'm also happy for new friends, though. Everywhere we've gone, God brings to us some really neat people that he's called to his side too in his service. And we get to work together with those. Do they weigh on my heart? Absolutely. Do they affect how I love my Lord? Oh, yes. I love him so much for providing the relationships I need. And so I want to serve him. We also experience changes in our marriage as our marriages mature. And then aging parents as well. If I have to get older, they have to get older too. And while it's a good thing, because for me it means I get to be a good friend. I get a best friend with my mom. And she gets to enjoy watching me grow and watching me come into my own. I'm blessed to have her here this afternoon for me. Love the Lord your God with all of your mind, mentally. What's on your mind? Wisdom should be adding to knowledge. No more do I just, I want to know the Bible more. Don't get me wrong. But all of that training, all of that study that happened as a younger woman, now I've got experience to back it up or to go along with it or to use it and verify that, yes, Lord, you were right. I should be acting based on experience. It's no longer, well, hey, let me just try that and see if it works. Now it's, I've made that mistake before. Or, hey, this worked there. Let me try it again. And I just become more empathetic. the more women we deal with and love and study the Bible with, the more we think, oh, I know just how you feel. I've been there. I've been in your shoes. So now that we've seen a little bit more closely, maybe the attributes and the changes that happen for women in their prime, I want to dig into Solomon's writings. Our lectureship this year is primarily wisdom literature. So yesterday, Corey chose Ruth in the lineage of Solomon. I do things a little bit differently. So we're going to look at the unnamed women of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon. Not often do we go, oh, let's do a character study of women with no name. But that's the kind of challenging person I want to be. Let's look at something maybe we don't really pay attention to as much as we ought to. Within those three books, Solomon names at least 19, or doesn't name, at least 19 types of women, attributes that he either condemns as stay away from these, don't be this, or he commends and he says, oh, look for this woman, be this woman. So as we read through them, now that we have this basis of how we want to love God, let's see what Solomon has to say. So I gave you the handout, and it's just going to be up here as well. And I know we don't have the time. It's really a quarter study. We could start today if we wanted to and come back weekly or something like that. But let's look a little bit through. And the men have the preachers have done just excellent jobs on some of these as they come through in their text. So sometimes we'll just refer to what they've said. The first one Solomon talks about is the strange woman. And he repeats her over and over again. There's several different references to her. And we know that's strange. It doesn't mean she's weird. It means that she's unauthorized. She's off bounds. She's out of bounds for whichever relationship we're looking for. So if you're single, you could be a strange woman to someone who's not your husband. Same if you're married. Anyone not your husband, you could become a strange woman. You're not authorized to be with them. Solomon gives us some attributes. She flatters with her words. Her house inclines to death. She lies in wait for prey. Oh, I hope it's never said that we get into that mindset where we desire someone so well that we would lie in wait and we would find the words. Solomon talks about the evil woman. Not to lust after her, be taken by her eyelids. He warns about the neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her will not be innocent. He has a lot to say about the harlot, that she's subtle and that he that keeps company with her, he squanders his wealth. The foolish woman, she plucks down her house with her own hand. The fair woman, which is without discretion. Boy, she looks nice, but she doesn't have a lick of sense. She's like a jewel in the swine's snout. How pretty that piece of gold, but when it's used for no good, how sad. The contentious wife, boy, she's that continual dropping on a rainy day. A brawling woman, the one who fights, the one who's just picking a fight. Jim just did an excellent job talking about her. The angry woman. Well, here's another contentious woman. You don't have to be a wife to be contentious. Also, just like that dropping. The adulterous woman, she says, I have done no wickedness. How awful it is to deny our own sin. An odious woman, she's repulsive. She's hateful. When she's married, she's disquieting to the whole earth. The woman whose heart is snares and nets, Ecclesiastes 7:26. She's a trap. She's setting a trap. She's more bitter than death. and she takes sinners, but she's to be avoided by those who would be pleasing to God. On the other hand, thankfully Solomon wasn't down completely on women. He did have some idea of what we should be. The wise woman builds her house well. The wife is a good thing to find. Oh, girls, be a good thing to find. The wife of thy youth, her husband should rejoice with her. The gracious woman retains her honor. A prudent wife is from the Lord. And then we have that Shulamite woman. Did you know the Shulamite woman before Sunday? Had you heard of her? We don't very often open that book. We blush. We say, oh, I don't understand it. But the Shulamite, of all of Solomon's 1,005 songs, there's one preserved for us. And that's the song of the Shulamite woman. How pure she was. How she waited and longed for her bride. The Shulamite woman is one to be emulated. And then perhaps our best known is the virtuous woman. I've outlined all those last verses of Proverbs 31, and we'll touch on it later. There's so much there, and we know maybe it's not all at once that we want to be all of these things. That makes it a little lofty, doesn't it? But perhaps as we grow, we see, well, right now I can do a few of these, and I can grow into a few more, and it may not be the season of my life right now for that one, but one day I long to be, or I'm going to work towards being that way. But in all things, I want to fear the Lord. Does your heart ache reading some of these negative ones? I was sharing with my sister-in-law, and her heart is so tender for others, and she says, Jen, that just makes me sad. Why would you want your house to be inclined towards death? Why would you allow that to be that way? It hurts your heart to read some of these negatives. How can we decide that we want to be that way or that we want to stay that way? I don't know about you. I'm challenged by some of these. I want to be a godly woman. I want to do my best in all things and all the time. Which adjectives describe you? Where are you? What are you working on? So we can compare the list that we have with the positive list. And that's why I gave you the handout. Study it. Know it. Learn it. Compare it to what's in your life now and what challenges you face. I think of all the unnamed women, we might boil it down to the two mentioned in Proverbs 14:1. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh down with her own hands. You are building a house. That house consists of all your relationships, your relationship with God, and all of the roles you fill, whether you're a wife, a mother, a daughter, a sister, a friend, a Christian. It's by your choices that you decide whether you're building your house or you're tearing it down. It's not anybody else's fault. Build it up with your own hands. The foundation begins, of course, with our relationship with God. Proverbs 31:30 says that a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Unlike that strange woman, she doesn't forget the covenant of her God. Proverbs 2:17. She remembers Ecclesiastes 12:13 and 14. She remembers to fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So what are you actively doing to make your relationship with God strong? A woman who seeks to love God should strive to be pure in heart and pure in speech and pure in action. Solomon warns that the woman whose heart is snares and nets and her hands as bands should be avoided by those who want to please God. This speaks to intention. What do you want to be? Whatever you want to be is what you'll aim to be. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. and remember how Christ scolded the Pharisees. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What is in your heart? While the middle-aged woman should no longer carry the self-centeredness of youth, it might be that we're a little stubborn. It might be that we're a little set in our ways, or that we even think we know better than one another. We need to examine our heart in light of God's word and recall that love seeketh not her own, and allow our actions to flow from an intention, a desire to lead a life pleasing to God. So as we work toward a pure heart, that overflow is what? Purity in speech and our behavior. A virtuous woman opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Proverbs 31:26. On the other hand, Solomon warns against speech which is full of flattery, dripping like a honeycomb and smoother than oil. He praises the gracious woman who is discreet, who's prudent, and who retains her honor. To open your mouth with wisdom, you must think before you speak. How much gossip, tale-bearing, idle, busybody behavior could we avoid by simply pausing to think? What is my intent? What do I want to mean with my words? The content. What words am I choosing to use? And the consequences of our words. To what end? What purpose do I hope to attain with my words? Some of you have probably seen this on Pinterest or Instagram or something, in a different 100 cute colors and styles to decoupage or paint or whatever your hobby of choice is. But it still rings true no matter which color scheme and flavor, I don't know, you pick. Before you speak, think. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? Just the time it takes to say, what does the tea mean again? Gives me enough time to think. Do I really even need to say what I just said or what I want to say? Middle age should carry with it that experience that adds to our knowledge. We shouldn't be seeking to use our words to harm or tear down, but to build the house of God. To teach others in kindness and love about the God that we love so much. Likewise, that virtuous woman is clothed in strength and honor, Proverbs 31:25. She is known and praised for her good works and her diligence and her integrity. We know several New Testament examples of women that were given for their example. Boy, Lydia, even though there wasn't a church in Philippi, says, come meet in my house. No, you will come on to my house. Come on. And every time Paul comes back through, he knows where the church is going to be meeting. There weren't enough men to have a synagogue in Philippi. She says, we don't need the men. We can be godly without godly men. Don't take that wrong. It is, of course, the most beneficial to have godly men. But in their absence, we are not without excuse. There was Tabitha in Acts 9 who was well known for sewing for the widows. And then there was Priscilla who taught the gospel alongside Aquila. There's no reason for us not to have the ability to teach the gospel. The parable of the talents in Matthew 25 is another lesson in using what we've been given by God. If you can do anything, you can use it, do it for God's glory. There's not a one of us that literally cannot do anything. Find a way to use it for God's glory. Oftentimes, we fall into this trap of comparison. We question one another, we compare one another, we argue the merits of our choices. We compare our jobs, our clothes, our houses, our cars, our marriages, our decisions for our children, The list really is endless. We can spend hours tearing one another down when in fact we should be building one another up. It's okay that we make different choices as long as they're within God's framework. Middle-aged women should be able to repeat the words of Paul. I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Now that context is he had learned to be abased, have absolutely nothing, and he had learned to abound. He had learned to have more than enough. Anywhere in between, we can learn to be content. But it is a learned action, isn't it? It's not something that, oh, you're just going to be content. Learn it. And by this age, we should be learning it. We should have enough experience. The Christian life is like a race. We know that it's not a competitive race, though. That was a new thought to me. I'm not racing against Corey to see who gets to heaven first. I'm not going to push her out of the way and say no. No, no, no. We can all win the race. And so, like the gospel chariot, if my sister's in the way, I'm not going to roll right over her. I'm going to stop and pick her up. Let's be busy working with our talents so that we can all say that we have run a successful race for the prize of the high calling. Let's be diligent and honest in our work, that it may be said to us, give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Proverbs 31:31. Godly women should also be sexually pure. Solomon spent much of his time warning against the dangers of immoral women. With 700 wives and 300 concubines, I guess he knew a bit about ungodly women. And while the Proverbs speak of the strange woman and the harlot and the evil woman and the fair woman without discretion, yes, he's primarily warning men, but can't we say, don't be them? Absolutely. Solomon didn't blame her wholly for her behavior. He did warn the men, you have a responsibility here too. Run. He did, however, give us the Shulamite woman. He gave us his best song, the Song of Solomon. And he says, three times I'm going to tell you this warning in her song. Don't waken love until it's time. Don't stir it up. Please don't be afraid of the book of Song of Solomon. Sunday's topics were just amazing at running it through it verse by verse. And discard the worldly, the commentaries that are out there, and know that it's a very simple literal translation. It takes us through a whole dating and courtship to marriage. It really is a beautiful song. It talks about purity. It talks about the love for one another. Please don't be afraid of it. Each of us as middle-aged women, we either find ourselves still single, we're married, or we're single again. So it applies to us. If we're single, we have to be pure. So what do we have to do? We have to put fail-safes in our relationships. We have to set boundaries with the people we spend time with. If you're married, okay, some changes happen while you're growing old. Communicate. Even in middle age, your husband should still be rejoicing in the wife of his youth. Many of us are raising teenage girls. Often we're called upon to teach the young girls. We are the young women even. We must be informed and we must be willing to teach them plainly from God's word. Shying away from it or being too embarrassed to say that S word does them zero good in being pure and holy and ready to be the wife that God wants them to be. I enjoy teaching the teenage girls, and it's one thing that candor goes a long way in reaching them. If you're not afraid of it and you teach it from a biblical perspective, they're more likely to listen. God has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. 2 Peter 1 verse 3. And that includes this beautiful book and the example of purity set forth by the Shulamite woman. So while our top priority is our relationship with God, typically we're also a wife and a mother, and we should be seeking to be like that virtuous woman and be able to say the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. Proverbs 31:11. As you grow older together, we just celebrated 20 years. It's a sweet, sweet place to be. Many marriages meet conflict as the children grow up. You have teenagers and there's more drama than you want to deal with. Or they leave home and what do you do with this empty nest? And who are you? Do we ever spend time together? You do have changes. But we learn to still communicate one with another. Maybe you're experiencing the reversal of roles when you're caring for an aging parent. Thankfully, I'm not there. And it's not what you expected, but you have to remember that you still don't want to become that brawling, odious, repulsive, contentious wife that we've learned from Solomon so many negatives about. Remember that you're the one in charge of the building. It's your own hand. You're either building it up or tearing it down. You've got to do your part. Likewise, when spoken to with perceived unfairness. There we go. Let me go back one. Cultivate being gracious that you may retain your honor. Proverbs 11:16. If you're spoken to with what you perceive as unfairness or a harsher tone than you really are in a mood to hear, or maybe a little bit of anger in that tone, you have the choice in how you react. No, I don't. I react. And I choose to react in kindness rather than in kind. I choose to learn to be content instead of contentious. I choose to exude virtue instead of vitriol. The virtuous woman watches over the ways of her household. Proverbs 31:27. Be aware of what's going on with you, and both personally and as a couple. Then purpose, intend. We come right back to that. Choose to work through those challenges with your beloved. Being a mother is like most other superpowers. With great blessing comes great responsibility. Proverbs 22:6 tells us to train up a child the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Many of the Proverbs warn us of the importance of discipline, but the Proverbs also speak of the joy of raising faithful children and the heartache, however, when they choose not to be. During the middle age years, the training we did with our babies and our toddlers, now they manifest themselves in teenagers and young adults. Our babies grow more independent, and our mothers experience this shift from caring for the young body to caring for a young soul. We're faced with the spiritual accountability of our own children. How terrifying it is when you realize that perhaps your child is no longer under just your house rule, but now is in need of a Savior. We've trained them to love God and love His Word and want to be obedient to it, but it can be an uneasy transition from safe to saved. And so it adds a whole other layer of questions. Do we know they're ready? How do we know they're ready? How do we know they're not ready? And then we might even start comparing with one another. Well, how old was your child? Well, is she as mature as he was? Oh, we beat ourselves up. We question. Just stop. When a child comes to realize that their soul is in need of that sin-cleansing blood of Christ, and they're ready to commit their life to him, not just to obedience to you, that they're accountable. And at that time, it's time to rejoice that they're ready, that they see that need, and that they decide to follow him. The day your child becomes your brother or sister in Christ, is a wonderful day, a joyful day. We may also, I'm going to have to rush through a little bit. We may face the marriage of our children. Not there yet. Just study on your own. No, just kidding. Proverbs 31, of course, gives us the virtuous woman. And that's not just for us to aim to be. It's also our training tool. Daughter, be this way. Or aim to be this way. Son, look for this. It's written, I don't know if you know, it's written as an acrostic, kind of like the each letter but means something. It's from A to Z. It's the, or Aleph to Tav, or the Hebrew alphabet. That it's a complete list of what a all-around woman should be. Yeah, there's that slide. The godly woman in her prime can apply many lessons from the unnamed women of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes of Song of Solomon. Strive to be virtuous and gracious and prudent and discreet. Be like the wise woman and build your house. Remember what Jesus said about the wise builder. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, he shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rains came down. It's hard not to just sing it. And the floods came up, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell with a great smash. Well, great was the fall of it. How about that? Matthew 7, verse 24 through 27. So in all of our various roles and responsibilities, let's seek both not to just hear the instruction of the Lord, but to do it. The physical changes, the challenges to our heart and our soul and our strength and our mind, we hear and we do, we love and we act. We purposely build with our own hands. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all.